Bless you, Tony. He makes that look so easy, doesn't he? But I don't know about you, but while he was playing, I was reflecting on those songs and closing out, what a friend we have in Jesus. What a wonderful thought, amen? And we certainly have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. It's good to be back with everyone. Brenda and I missed being here, and we did have a wonderful time on vacation. I understand Matt and Teresa did as well as with the boys, and thank you for allowing part of your staff to enjoy ourselves and to recharge and reinvigorate ourselves. I'm going to ask you to find with me today Exodus, the 16th chapter, and you'll see on the screen this morning our verses of concentration that we're going to be looking at. But we're going to bring a message in our Lord's Supper series, You Are What You Eat. Next week, we'll resume our series in Galatians, The Urgency of the Gospel. But today, because of the Lord's Supper, we're doing a series in on the Lord's Supper. And so each time we do this, we're looking at Old Testament reference about that. So I'm going to talk to you about eating. Now, when I say eating, I know invariably some of you are thinking about lunch already. So let's just have some input this morning from the congregation. Where's lunch at today for some of you? Just go ahead and shout out where you're going to have lunch at. Chipotle? Anybody else? I'm sorry? Bob Evans. Yeah. McDonald's. All right. All right. Well, you know, I'm having fast food today, and fast food for me is duck. So I'm going to be grilling some duck on the grill, and you probably wouldn't like the way that I eat it. I wrap it in bacon, and I only cook it medium. And so I eat duck sort of bloody, like a steak. And some of you think, well, that's silly. No, duck doesn't have the nasty stuff in it that processed foods does. So you can eat it like you can eat beef. But when we talk about eating, you know, invariably everybody's mind goes on that. And why is that? Well, it's the way we fuel our bodies. We substantially move on ahead because we eat. We have to sustain our bodies in some way. And when we have something that is very consequential to who we are as human beings, there's a lot of metaphors about that, isn't there? One of the metaphors about eating is I've heard people say, I'm so hungry, I could eat a horse. And some of us probably have and not known it. You may not want to know that, but you do know it now. I've heard this said, and I've said this to myself, my eyes were bigger than my stomach. It usually implies that I saw a lot of food, I tried to eat a lot of food. Consequently, I'm not so happy that I've eaten a lot of food. Here's one that I know from personal experience. You are what you eat. Now, that's true. What I have witnessed in my own personal life is I have changed my eating habits. I try to eat fresher now, more of a low-fat diet, a higher-fiber diet, and it's reflected in better health for me. Every one of us knows that if you eat poorly, then you're going to probably not do so well health-wise. But if you eat good, your health will change for the better. So opposite, we eat well, we're probably going to be well. The opposite of that is if we don't eat so well, we're not going to do so well. Well, there's something that I don't want us to miss, and it's this. Fresh is always better. Regardless of where we're talking about in life, you know, fresh is always better. And when it comes to eating healthy, the idea of eating something that has just been prepared, something that is fresh and not frozen, is always a good thing to have. So today, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we're going to find in Corinthians, the first chapter, verses 25b down to 26. I'm going to read this to you. These are the words of Paul reflecting what Jesus Christ said. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Now, there's something that jumps right off the pages of the Bible to me in those two verses. And that's something that is this. When we take the ordinance of the church here today in communion, the Lord's Supper is one of those ordinances. We are to have a fresh experience with God. I mean, did you get that? For as often as you do this in remembrance of me. To me, that's implying a fresh experience. And not only fresh, but a continual experience with God. And here's what I know from my own personal experience coming in the Lord's Supper. When it comes to the Lord's Supper, there's a lot of us that are living on leftovers. We're thinking about something 5 years ago. We're thinking something about 10 years ago. And that's why it's such a drudgery sometimes for us to come in a corporate setting, sit down, and partake of this commemorative meal. Because we've just not had a fresh experience with God. See, God wants us to have a fresh experience with Him daily, every single day. So in this series on communion, we've been talking about types in the Old Testament, and that's where I've asked you to turn with me to Exodus, the 16th chapter. Let's start down verse 4, then we're going to jump down to verses 14 through 24, and then down to close out in verse 31 with our scriptures today. This is Moses, situation Moses is in. God speaking directly to him. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day that I might test them whether they will walk in my law or not." Now, to me, that says freshness, doesn't it? Every day, God's doing something for them. Look at verse 14. "And when the layer of dew was lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance, as fine as a frost on the ground." Verse 15. "So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, 'This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord commandeth. Let every man gather it according to each one's need, one omer for each person, according to the number of persons. Let every man take for those who are in his tent.' Then the children of Israel did so and gathered, some more and some less. So when they measured it by omers, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack." Continue on. "Every man had gathered according to each one's need." Verse 19. "And Moses said, 'Let no one leave any of it until the morning.' Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses, but some of them left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and stank." It went rancid. "And Moses was angry with them. So they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need. And when the sun became hot, it melted. So it was on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. And the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, "This is what the Lord has said: tomorrow is the Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you bake today, and boil what you boil, and lay up for yourself all that remained to be kept until morning." So they laid it up till morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. And the house of Israel called it manna. And it was white as a coriander seed, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey." Boy, that sounds good, doesn't it? I put a little honey in my peanut butter when I make a peanut butter wrap, but this was already tasting good. Now may God bless the reading and the hearing and the preaching of His word today. I want to talk to you about what this represents to us today, this whole idea of fresh. I want us to understand, as this Old Testament type that we have before us, that the manna represented Christ. And we need to take note that the Hebrews called it manna. In fact, when you see that phrase, "What is it?" that's just the Hebrew word manna, which literally means an expression of "what is it?" But interestingly, God called it bread. He called it lechin, which means exactly bread. So here's a point, just a broad overview. From an earthly perspective, from a human perspective, there's really not sufficient words to explain sometimes what God does. But it's good to know that He's doing it, isn't it? It's always good to know that God is doing it. I think about the words to a song, The Love of God, and these words in the third verse are very powerful. I want to read these to you today. Can we with ink the ocean fill, were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Interestingly enough, this third verse was found scribbled on the wall of a narrow room in an insane asylum by a man who was determined to be demented. The profound lines were laid with him in his coffin at his death. How do we explain God? Well, let's look carefully and let's try to explain at least some of these things that are laid out in front of us here. We have several ways that the man represented the Lord and represented God himself, because God is Christ and Christ is God. Now, first is his humanity. His humility. Manna, if you notice what it says in our text, it was small, and we know that Christ came into this world as a child, as a babe. Christ Jesus humbled himself, took on the form of a servant, became a man, and he came to serve and to seek and to save that which is lost. So when we think about the manna, we think of his humility. Can I say this to us today? When we look at the squares we'll have today, I tried to get the deacons to round off the edges, because we'll talk about that in a little bit, just joking with them. When we look at the wafer today, think about the humility of Christ. He humbled himself. Let me ask, have you humbled yourself? Second thing is his eternal nature. Notice the manna was round. And roundness or circle is around a symbol of eternity. In John, the 8th chapter, verse 58, Jesus Christ said, "Before Abraham was, I am." He had no beginning, he had no end. Just as a circle has no beginning, no end, the manna had no circle, no beginning, no end. And the same is true of the Lord Jesus Christ. It also speaks about his purity. Think about this. It was white. This tells of his purity and his sinless nature. John, the first John, the third chapter, verse 5, it says this, "And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there was no sin." The Lord Jesus Christ was completely sinless. So when we look at the whiteness of the manna and we see the whiteness of the wafer today, we think of the sinlessness of Christ. And the fourth thing, it tells us his sweetness. I made a reference to this. The manna had a sweet, honey-like taste to it. And the manna itself speaks of his goodness, of his sweetness. David writes this in the 34th Psalm, verse 8, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts him." So, the manna represented Christ. So, let's talk about how the manna illustrated how Christ came. And we can sort of understand this in the communion service as well. There was no earthly explanation of why the manna was there. And can I tell you, there's no earthly explanation why the Lord Jesus Christ was here. I mean, he came and was born of a virgin. Impossible. Not even an improbability, an impossibility. There's no way that it was that this could happen. But with men, it was impossible, but with God, all things were possible. There was no earthly explanation for his arrival. He was born of a virgin, and you just simply can't explain that. I don't ever try to explain it. My friend, I accept it. I believe it. I trust it. I know that it's reality. So, manna, think about some of the similarities between manna, the mystery of manna, and the mystery of the Lord Jesus Christ. Manna came from heaven, and we know exactly that the Lord Jesus Christ, he came from heaven. It tells us that it came at night, and the scriptures tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ himself was born at night. And this symbolized, by the way, the darkness of the world at that time. He came to be the light of the world in a very dark and dim time. It came on the dew. The dew is water, and the water was represented, it separated, the manna from the earth, and it kept it from being defiled from the earth, so no sand or dirt can touch it. The Holy Spirit separated Christ Jesus from the world, just as he's the Holy Spirit himself is supposed to separate us from the world. It fell in the wilderness in a very barren place. I've read different scholars and different accounts on how manna could have been from an earthly explanation, but there's really no logical explanation of why manna was there. It came because God so willed it. Christ came because God so willed it, came in a barren place, and he came to a group of people, meaning you and me, who knew him not. The place that it fell was right at their feet. Can I tell you today that the Lord Jesus Christ, he's right before you today. He's ready to be accepted into your heart. He's ready for you to have a fresh experience if you're a born-again Christian in your life, if you hadn't. Now, honestly, friend, when's the last time that you've really opened his word? When's the last time you really got down and you prayed about something that wasn't a selfish want or a selfish need? Lord, I need a raise. Lord, you know, I would like the kids to act better. I'm not negating those kind of things, folks. Those are things that I think to have their proper place in the Christian perspective. But when's the last time that you've really gotten with God and just said, Lord, what is it do you want me to do? What is it you're trying to show me? Lord, here's a big one. How can I serve you? That's the way we have a fresh experience with God. See, he stands at our heart door and he knocks. And the Bible tells us that if we open, he'll come in. And we can have fellowship with him. And the third thing and the final thing this morning in this short and brief message is this. Manna shows the Lord's Supper. I believe it illustrates. I've alluded to it here. Let's get a little deeper into it today. There are some final things I want to point out in this illustration of manna and the Lord's Supper. One is that the manna was on the ground. What did they have to do to get the manna? Had to get on their knees, didn't they? In fact, they probably got on both knees to gather it up. Let me tell you something. We need to humble ourselves. We're taking this meal today, and we all need to be humble about it. Amen? Because it's a reflection. It's a reflection. It's not the actual thing, but it's a reflection of a great thing that the Lord God has done for us. Philippians, the second chapter, verse 10, the name of the Lord, the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every of those in heaven and those of earth and those that are under the earth. We need to realize that we got to stoop to take this meal today. Second thing, the people had to eat it for themselves. Now, you know, obviously the moms and the dads, more so the dads probably, gathered it for the family. But they still, even though they gathered it for the family, each individual had to eat it for themselves. They weren't fed by looking at it. They weren't fed by discussing it. They had to pick the meal, the manna up. They had to prepare it and eat it for themselves. And with Christ, you have to make up your own mind concerning who he is, whose son is he. So, have you partaked of this meal yourself? And the third thing, the manna was gathered early in the morning. Let me say this to you. If you don't have a personal relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, man, don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till the conclusion of after the Lord's Supper here today. You need to do it today. The Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Interestingly enough, the sun came up in the morning after that manna was up. And when the sun came up, that manna would dissipate. It would wither away. The sun was a sign of judgment, and the judgment caused the opportunity to gather that together to wither away. Can I tell you, for some of us, the sun has been so high in our lives for so long, and our opportunity to trust Christ is just withering and withering away from us. And let me talk to the church here as well. Our opportunity to have a fresh experience with God on a daily basis, one we probably haven't had for years, is just diminishing. It's withering away because we are unwilling, not unable, but unwilling to humble ourselves before the Lord. So, if you've not prepared for this meal, I want you to have the opportunity to prepare for this meal today. See, every day needs to be a fresh supply. Are you praying daily? Are you studying your Bible daily? Are you having conversations that are about the Bible? Are you doing those kind of things? Are you listening to things that you should be listening to? Why do we need a fresh supply every day? Well, it's simple. For strength. Those who have fresh experience with God are going to have strength. Because it's not something that happened 10 years ago. You know, just about every service, you hear me say something at the close of the invitation. I'll say something about me trusting Christ as a 10-year-old child. I know some of you probably may get sick of hearing about that, but that was an experience that I had that nothing can take away from it. But here at 52 years of age, 42 years later, that wasn't the only experience I've ever had with God. I had one this morning. I had one the day before. You know, it's a continual thing. You need to have that. To really have strength in your life, to meet the day's events. For growth, it's important that we have a fresh supply for growth. As we eat fresh, as we have a fresh experience, then growth can come from that. And ultimately, if you have strength and growth, there's going to be health, there's going to be vitality from that. We need that for health. Fresh every day, morning by morning, His mercies I see. So, what have you been eating? Honestly, what have you been eating? Can you say today, in this meal, I've not been living on leftovers? I'm not living on what happened 10 years ago or 5 years ago or even last week. Man, I had a fresh, powerful, meaningful experience with God. Not an experience-based theology, but an experience based upon Scripture and about personal encounters with the Lord God. Can you say that? That's a challenge for you today. What are you eating? Honestly, what was the last time? When was the last time you had a fresh experience of God? Or are you just simply living on leftovers? So today, I'm going to come to the altar. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. I want you to listen to the invitation here very clearly and carefully this morning. We're just going to play briefly here. I'm going to be praying. If you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've not made that public, maybe you just made that this morning. Maybe you made that a few weeks ago or maybe a couple years ago. I don't know, but you've never made that public. I want you to come up and pray this morning. Some counselors will catch up with you here. But come up and pray this morning, and then I want you to sit on the front pew, and I'm going to talk to you briefly this morning. If you're a member of this church and you've not had a fresh experience with God in a while, well, once you know that, you need to do something about it. So why don't you come up to the altar this morning and pray? Just say, Lord God, forgive me. I've distanced myself from you, and I'm sorry about that. Forgive me. And I want your mercies to be new every day of my life. I want to see your grace in everything that I do in life. Why don't you do that? Would you do that for yourself? Not for me. Not for this church, but for yourself. So I'm going to bow down. I'm going to pray here. Anyone else feel compelled to come on up and get reacquainted with the Lord God today? Reinvigorated for the Lord God today? Tell the church here that you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You come up and you share that as well as we begin. Thank you. All right. Excuse me for a second, folks. Brian, me on. All right. Being made here at the altar here today, so we want to give time for this. Okay, amen? All right. Honestly, when's the last time you had a fresh experience with God? Don't leave here today without having that. I'm going to ask every head to be bowed, every eye to be closed. I want to thank you for your attention this morning. We're far from done today. But don't leave here today the same way you walked in. Leave here fresh, whole, anew, reinvigorated. I want you just simply to pray with me this morning. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God to be anew in your life. And commit yourself, submit yourself, more importantly, to having those fresh experiences with Him today. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word is not only able to make us wise unto salvation, but it is a lamp unto our feet. And Lord, we thank you for the illustration that is given through manna. And Father, I know that at times, more frequent than I would like to admit, I don't have those fresh experiences with you like I want to, like I should have. I can read, I can pray, I can study, but they become habit-type things and not relational-type things. And I pray that today, that this pastor will submit himself to really praying, really studying, really having those fresh experiences with you. And I pray for the people that I have the privilege to lead, to shepherd, to love, and to care for. And Lord, I pray that they're having fresh meals when it comes to experiences with you. That they see your mercies anew every day. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. I pray that they sense you, not in a selfish way, not in an egotistical way or narcissistic way, but in a relational way that says, even the bad can be good because you're my Savior. David declared in the 23rd Psalm, the Lord, he is my shepherd. And he was declaring, Father, that you were managing his life, in charge of every single aspect of it. And I hope and pray we could all say that today because of a fresh experience with you. Thank you for my friend Jim coming forward, and we just pray for your blessings upon him and his family. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Folks, again, it's my privilege to share with you that Jim has come forward to receive Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. So, congratulations. And I'm elated. Probably not as much as you are, but it's a good thing. So after the service, we're going to let you have a chance to get to meet him. So we're going to go ahead and prepare ourselves for the Lord's Supper today. So thank you. Deacons, if you'll come forward and get yourself ready for this meal, and we'll go from there. All right. Let me read to you from 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, verses 23 through 26. We touched on them briefly this morning. Let's read that entire context this morning. Paul says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is in the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'"
To read from Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 6. "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for what you did for us on the cross. Lord, may today, after this Lord's Supper, be a first step in a closer walk with you. Lord, I thank you for each of these deacons, for our pastor, as we serve this Lord's Supper to your people. Just ask that you bless the rest of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
As we look at the wafer, the communion meal that's before us, it's a little different than what the scripture's pictures about manna. The scripture picture about manna is, you know, small, round, white. And we're just simply asking you to think and reflect upon his purity. He was sinless. And because he was sinless and died for our sins, we can be sinless if we trust him. We won't make sinlessness in this life, but the life is to come in heaven. We will be sinless. Amen? And I'm so grateful for that. Think about the insignificance that this is. It's so small, meaningless. And his life, I mean, he born of a Jewish woman, the son of peasant workers. There was not much significance or fanfare, even though the kings of Orient wanted to greet him with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But yet, he was the king of heaven. It was round. Of course, this isn't round, but represented his eternity. So, let's go ahead and look for this. We have it on the screen this morning. Okay, well, I'll walk you through it. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, and hopefully you remember this, congregation, help me repeat this, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
I'm going to be reading from Hebrews chapter 9, verses 12 through 14. "Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Let us pray. Father, as we prepare to take the cup, Lord, which symbolizes the blood that Jesus shed for us, Lord, we're so thankful, Father, for that free gift, for the ransom that he paid, Lord, that no longer do we have to sacrifice bulls and goats, Lord, and we don't need the high priest to go in the Holy of Holies on our behalf, Father, that Jesus is now our high priest, that we can go to him daily, Lord, freely, and he intercedes on behalf of us to the Father. We're thankful of that, Lord. Father, I just pray that we will be ever mindful of the significance of this small little cup, Lord, that what it is supposed to be, Lord, the blood that was shed for us, that we deserve death and hell, but because of that blood, we now can have eternal life with you. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.
Thank you.
there is a common thread in all human blood, and genetically they can show some things that trace to a common origin. The blood of Christ was different because our origin traces to sin. It's been passed on from the first Adam down to every single one of us. But the Bible speaks of the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the uniqueness of his blood. His blood was sinless, perfect. Never blood like it ever. Never will be blood ever like it again. Because it was his blood that was shed for our remission of sins. So, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, and I hope you remember this, and we may have it on the screen now. This is the cup in my new covenant, in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Hey, Jim, I'm going to ask you to come forward, and if any family members want to come up with you today, we're going to conclude with a hymn today. As you're leaving, I'm going to ask you to greet Jim, say hello to him, welcome him into the family of God, and he's finishing up the new members class. We're going to have a hymn here in a moment. Jeff, you're going to sing, right? I hope, because it shouldn't be me. But the Bible tells us at the conclusion of the Lord's Supper that they sung a hymn and they went away. So that's the way we want to conclude today. Do make a couple announcements tonight. Pastor Matt will be preaching tonight. And where you're in 1 John, 3rd chapter? 2nd chapter still. All right? So I challenge you to be here for that. I have an opportunity to preach a closing revival message at First Southern of Camden tonight. Dan, Shannon, if I get it out, Shannon and Tony Wilson will be going with me to be a part of that service as well. So be in prayer for us. That service is at 6:30. So, brother.
Let's stand as we dismiss and let's sing the chorus.
One thing.